Yes, indeed. Thanks to the help we get from ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel. We'll get those questions answered for you. Any kind of a car care question, now is your chance for the next 30-some minutes or so. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things? Merry Christmas, by the way.
We're getting there, you know, and maybe a little white up out of the sky today, but it looks like it's going to warm up again, so it might not hang on very long.
Yeah, that's what it looks like according to that forecast. But in the meantime, if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us, checking us out. If you have any kind of a car care question, you got to bring it in your vehicle, your car, your truck, your van for service at your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, and you want to know ahead of the game what could be ailing. Nick will try to analyze that over the air and give you at least some idea of what could be happening, what you can expect. So, again, don't wait. Our time always goes by so quickly. So you can call us now, and we urge you to do that, or text us, whichever is easier. One number will get you either 651-461-9226. Nick, I saved some questions when our pal Dan was with us last week, among some other things. So we've got questions already. But again, if you have a car care question, don't wait. Send us a text or give us a call. Interesting one we never got to, Nick. How long, especially this time of year, I guess, listener wants to know, how long, generally speaking, does it take the car need to run to charge the battery?
Well, that's a fair question. So the way the car's electrical system works is that the alternator charges the battery and operates all of the electronics in the vehicle while it's running. So if we had a low battery or trying to recharge or, you know, get it back up to where it should be, we're going to want to, a couple of things, have all the other accessories off. Anything that's running, or you, other than WCCO, of course, anything else electrically that's running will pull from that alternator so it can't charge the battery. The other piece of this is it can be idling, because at idle, the engine's going very slowly and the alternator is not able to reach its capacity, its peak performance. So you need to be actually driving it around. It doesn't have to be on the highway or anything, but you need to have those RPMs up over 1,500, 1,800, 2,000 RPMs, which is normal driving. So in those conditions, the alternator has the capability to produce the power to fill the battery. If we're not using all of the other electronics in the vehicle, it leaves more of the alternator to refill the battery. So long story short, if you have to jump start your vehicle, you go drive around for 45 minutes, I think that's going to give you enough of a charge on a decent battery. If the battery obviously has failed, you can drive it all day long, and when you go to restart, it's not going to start. So keep that in mind.
Very good. Good question. Again, here's our phone number and text number, 651-461-9226. And again, I urge you to call or text now because, our time goes by so quickly. Here's another one, Nick, that we didn't get to. Texter says, I have a 1998 Cadillac Seville with a possible Northstar engine in it that is blown up. It only has 100,000 miles on it. Do you think it's worth getting a rebuilt engine in it and installing it?
You know, it's... when people always ask, you know, is this car worth fixing? And it really depends on your situation, your means, your needs, your desire for that particular vehicle. You know, my opinion personally, I don't think that'd be worth the investment. But if it's been a family-owned vehicle for a long period of time, you have the means to replace the engine, by all means, it's your money and your desire. But on practicality, I don't think that's the right fit for the right vehicle to do that with.
All right. Here's another one that we didn't get to, and I'm not sure what this texter means, but I'll just read it. It says, my daughter's Hyundai needs rear brakes, and evidently the slides are frozen. How do I unfreeze the slides when I put new brakes on? What are they talking about, calipers? What do you think?
I suspect that is what they're talking about. And any brake job that you do, you should take apart the slide, the pins, the caliper to clean and lubricate. Oftentimes, our brakes will wear unevenly and prematurely if those slides and pins will start to get stiff or stuck. So any brake job that you do, you should remove the caliper, clean all the contact points, take apart those slides and those pins, clean them, lubricate them, and then reassemble the caliper. Clean all the contact points, take apart those slides and those pins, clean them, lubricate them, and then reassemble them. So it's a process. Now, sometimes you'll find that those items won't come apart because they're diseased. Those situations, you're better off buying yourself a new caliper. But it's going to take inspection and disassembly before we get to that point.
All right. Interesting. Never heard that term before. Let's grab a phone call, Nick. Mark is calling in from Maple Grove this morning. Thanks, Mark. What's your question for Nick?
Hi, Nick. I have a 2015 Dodge Journey. It has looks like a radiator, a reserve tank, but I think there's antifreeze and, you know, the mix, the 50-50 mix in there. And anyway, my question is, how full should that tank mix with antifreeze have? If the thermostat is functioning properly and the gauge is saying, you know, that it's somewhere in the normal range, not showing hot, I had the thermostat work and that last year. Do you think there's any concern about this year, you know, through the winter?
You know, the first thing with those reservoirs, a couple of things. When you check the coolant or the antifreeze, you want to make sure that the vehicle's cold. So the time in the morning, you're going to go out to that reservoir, and they're all differently. Some of them actually are kind of transparent where you can kind of see through them slightly, and there'll be like a min-max line there. You want to have it above the minimum for sure on a cold engine. I mean, just above the minimum, because as it heats up, that coolant's going to expand. It's going to fill the reservoir some. So you don't want to fill it all the way to the top. It might overflow at that point. The other style, sometimes you might not be able to see the side of it, but you take the cap off and look down in there, and you'll see there'll be like a step or something. It'll say min and then max as you fill it. So same thing on the cold engine. You're going to fill it so you're above that minimum level, but leave some space for expansion. So as when you close it up and you drive the vehicle gets up to run temp as you drive, that coolant will expand and fill that reservoir even further. Keep in mind, though, once the engine is warmed up, you do not want to remove that cap. The system's under pressure. You run the risk of having a boiling over and burning yourself. So remember that. Hot engine, don't open the cooling system. As far as I think you'll be fine, if the thermostat was replaced, the procedures were done properly, which it sounds like they were, but it's been a year, I think you're just fine.
All right. Very good. We need to take a break. And just a reminder, our listeners, Nick will take his leave close to 7:45, so don't wait. 651 to call or text, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we've got callers, we have texters, but I want to ask, as I always like to do, for those that maybe need help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question or need some advice, feel free to give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you're on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're right on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And I'd really appreciate it if you checked out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. And again, we do have callers, we have texters, so let's put you back to work, see who's in line here. David's calling in from Fridley, I believe, this morning. Thanks for waiting, David. What is your question?
My question is also battery related. I've been able to store my Mustang in my dad's garage for quite a few years, and it's unheated, so I would hook up a trickler, I believe is what they call it, to keep the battery charged. But next year, I might have to put it into a heated rented garage. And my question is, if the car is stored in a heated garage, is it critical I still hook up a trickler to keep the battery charged?
I wouldn't say it's critical. I think if a car's sitting, if a battery is sitting for 6 months, to have a tender on it, which is one of those floating devices that just puts in maybe a half an amp or a very small amount back into the battery to kind of keep it charged. It's like, because if it sits, it's going to sulfate and slowly discharge. So if you don't have access to a power outlet and it's in a heated garage, you're probably going to be fine. But if you can plug it in, I think my advice would be to, I think I'd continue with that plan. That should help the battery get another year or two out of it in the long run.
All right. Very good, David. Thank you for the call. Let's grab another call while we're at it. Pat, checking in from Coon Rapids this morning. Thank you, Pat. What's your question for Nick?
Well, my question is, when not every station has it, but the stations that have E88 gas, is that okay to use in your car? It's usually less expensive.
So you have to be careful. Some stations might have four or five different fuel options. It can be a little confusing. I've experienced myself. So look at your owner's manual. See what your vehicle's capable of using. Like an E85 vehicle, it'll tell you what mixture or what ethanol content. Even in a standard vehicle, it'll tell you do not exceed a certain amount of ethanol or alcohol. So when you're looking at the pump, it might say E87, 88, 89, 91, whatever it might be, but it'll also tell you kind of an alcohol content or ethanol content, which is alcohol. Make sure you follow that. And if you don't know, you're not sure, using this the good old regular fuel that you've used your whole life will be just fine. What can happen, though, vehicles are not designed to run higher alcohol content, so if you put too strong of a mix in there, the cars run poorly. They're going to have to try to find a way to get that out of the tank. So read the owner's manual, look online. When you're at the pump, do a little research, take some notes so you make sure you're using what fuel your car vehicle accepts.
Yeah, for sure. That manual, it's great to read. I'm guilty of that, of not doing that as often as I should. It's amazing what you can learn from that manual. Texter says this, Nick. They have a 2023 Traverse. It has auto stop. Will this decrease the life of the starter, do you think?
Good question, and we kind of talk about that from time to time. I don't know. I mean, yes, it's been used more, obviously, so is that better or worse? You know, between used more and staying lubricated and functioning, obviously use our starter every time we start our vehicle. But you might only start your vehicle two or three times a day, where with the auto stop, for those that don't know, what it is, you pull to a stop sign once the vehicle's fully warmed up, the car kind of shuts itself off. Once you take your foot off the brake to go to get moving again, it restarts kind of like a golf cart does. The reason they do that is that the emissions emitted in the atmosphere are the highest at an idle. So having all these vehicles sitting in the stoplight, there's a tremendous amount of emissions being sent in the air. So we're learning that if we want to cut back on the emissions, one really simple thing to do is shut the vehicle off. So we're all at the stoplight, the vehicle shut off, the light turns green, we go forward again, and the vehicle's restart. It really does a really good job for the environment. So the technology, my guess would be in the long run, it will be harder on the starter because they have only so many starts. But will we notice a difference? I doubt it. I don't think it's going to be something where you're replacing a starter every year, every other year. But it won't be that noticeable.
Any kind of a car care question? We still have time for yours. It's 651-461-9226. Texter says this, good morning. I heard that if one tire goes bad on an all-wheel drive vehicle, all of the tires need to be replaced. Is that true or a myth? Tires are pretty expensive these days.
Well, first off, tires are very expensive. The prices seem to keep going up with no relief anytime soon. So make sure your tire pressures are full. Make sure you rotate your tires to prolong the life. And to answer their question, if you have a tire that is damaged or whatever condition, and the other three tires are getting quite worn, I would agree. It's really going to depend on the make, the setup, the depth of the tire. So if the tire is fairly new and the tires are new and one is bad, yes, I think we can put one on and be okay, sometimes two. But if they are getting quite worn, you don't want to put the undue stress on the all-wheel drive mechanics because that's even more expensive than tires. So you have to get some advice. Make sure who you're working with is a good relationship, a trusting relationship, and they can explain and advise you accordingly.
Very good. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break for that forecast. And when we come back, we'll pick up on more car care questions. Next offer from Lloyd's Automotive, answering those car care questions this morning at 651-461-9226. The weather straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. I'm reading a text. Somebody said, is Nick calling in from a submarine? It sounds like there's some sounds of a submarine in the back. You got to tell me where you are. Oh, you're breaking up. Guess what? You are breaking up. I think you're going to need to find another location, maybe briefly. But in the meantime, I know you're still listening to me. I want to read another text, and we still have time for phone calls as well. Here's the text anyway. My 1966 Chevy Impala, yesterday I noticed that the fan belts were squeaking and smelled like rubber, and was wondering if you could tell me what I should look for with that.
Sitting.
No, you're still breaking up. Doggone it. Too bad. Still breaking up.
What's going on here?
He's going to check something. We still have some text messages to it. Well, you're there. Let's see if we can't handle it. What do you think about that squeaking and smelling like rubber question?
I would just barely.
No, I tell you what, Nick, it's breaking up. It's not. All right. Tell you what, do this. Call us back from another location, and we can see if he can't move around in that building a little bit. I think he's with his kids at a hockey rink, as a matter of fact. Dads always have these things to do, you know, especially in the weekends. If you're checking in with us, Nick Stoffel is with us from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick and his friend Dan Burns from Lloyd's have been helping us out here on CCO for, as I mentioned, it's got to be close to 30 years. And if we don't get all the questions answered today, it's like I like to do from week to week, if we, because people are kind enough to call or text us. We will save those questions until the next week's show. So that's what we'll do again today if we can't put it together. But here again is, keep in mind that we're around every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. You can either call in your car care question or send a text. A lot of folks like the text because it's easier. You don't have to wait on the phone. 651-461-9226 for either your call or your text question. Has Nick rejoined us, Dennis? I guess maybe he hasn't. Is he back?
How about that, Denny?
There.
Can you hear me good now?
Now you're perfect. It's perfect.
All right, so
okay.
What happened is, as you know, I take my daughter to hockey all different places, and we're at Woog Arena in South St. Paul, and I was sitting in my normal spot, and I got up to move, and then I lost my good signal, so back to my spot. So I'm always someplace, somewhere. You get early Saturday morning. So
you're a busy. You're a busy dad. What about that squeaky and smelling like rubber question?
So if we're having a smell, it means that something's slipping. Like the belt is not fully tight. Number one, or it's wet. So I would tell the texter to open the hood, look for anything that might be wet. You know, don't stick your hand in where it shouldn't be. But if you see the belt, look around the belt. If it's shiny, it looks wet, we might have a leak that needs to be fixed. The other thing you can do is you can start the vehicle. Once again, don't stick your fingers where they don't belong. Watch the belt. If it seems to be wobbly, make a note of what looks like it's wobbly. Maybe take a photo even. And then when you get a hold of your mechanic or your shop, you can share that information. I heard this noise. I smelt this. See that it looks wet and glazed, like it's been leaking, or something looks like it's loose and wobbling. This probably isn't something you want to ignore too long, because that's kind of your warning. The car is talking to you, making a noise they haven't heard. Something's wrong. So I would probably advise the texter to get an appointment, get it looked at, especially before we hit any kind of real cold weather so you're not stuck out in the cold.
Boy, that's good advice for sure. We always, as you know, Nick, have the smartest listeners, and we had an earlier call about E85, and I think the caller was talking about E88 or something like that. But anyway, a texter said you should have a yellow cap on your gas tank if you can use E85. Does that ring a bell truth?
That is correct. You know, if it is an E85 vehicle, which my truck is, you have a yellow fuel cap. The E88 is where they're trying to bridge the gap of how much ethanol you can run in certain vehicles. So I advise you be very careful playing that game. Make sure you read the manual, read online, do some research. Just don't, you know, I can save myself 50 cents or 30 cents a gallon, which is real money. If you create a problem that costs hundreds to fix, it might not be worth it. So I advise people be very careful. Very careful before you start just running anything through your vehicle.
All right, here's another one for you, Nick. 2020 GMC Sierra 1500 SLT four-wheel drive. The owner's manual states, quote, do not directly power wash the transfer case and or front/rear axle output seals. And the question is from the listener, is a car wash with undercarriage spray safe to use?
Yes. They're spraying water directly up. It's not a finite, like a pressure washer. And the reason is there's venting systems built into a lot of these items, and they don't want you introducing too much water into them. No different than going down a wet road. You know, those tires kick up plenty of water, moisture, and mist. That's getting everywhere underneath also. So your drive-through car wash will be just fine. If you're keeping your vehicle spotless, I want you to be careful with the pressure washer that you're not going to force water through one of those vents.
Yeah, that makes sense. So an undercarriage wash for the car wash is fine. Texter says this, Nick. I know we have a couple minutes to go. Does occasionally switching to manual drive to aid in braking wear the transmission faster?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of thoughts and opinions. And, if something were to go the life of a vehicle and track it, maybe you can see a slight difference. I think we're better to stay focused on the road and those around us than trying to downshift our vehicle. You know, it doesn't damage the transmission. Maybe it's a little bit easier on the brakes, but at what cost? I'm probably not worth it, quite honestly.
When I used to drive all those manual transmission cars I drove, which is most of the cars I've had, I would always downshift. And occasionally with these paddle shifters I have now, once in a while, you know, to make sure I'm at the speed limit, I'll downshift a little bit, but very rarely. And I, like you said, maybe over the long haul it would, but I don't think in the short term, in my opinion.
Not measurable. No, not measurable.
One last question. I think we got to let you go. 2009 Dodge Challenger has a slow tire pressure leak. The tire shop found the tire rim has a slight bend. Can the rim be straightened or should I buy a new wheel?
Yes, a wheel can be repaired and straightened within reason. When they manufacture the wheel, the rim, there's like a bead that's kind of like the safety zone or the limit of repair that's kind of part of the design of a wheel. So if it's been damaged to some capacity, it's hard to tell you over the radio what's good, what's bad. Like you talk to those folks, there are outfits that come out, straighten that wheel or repair even a crack, and it's usually more economical than replacing the wheel. So I would advise you to do a little more research, inquire a little bit more. If the folks that you're using doesn't offer that, you know, there's another shop across the street, across town that will. So just do a little more legwork there, and I think you'll find that if it is repairable, you'll save yourself some good money, and it's a good fix. We haven't done quite often, and it does work. So it is a good option.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to hockey practice there, Nick. And in the meantime, for those folks that – and we'll have more show next week, of course. But, Nick, in the meantime, for those folks that want to get in touch with Lloyd's Automotive, how is that done?
Yeah, so if you ever have a question or need some advice, never hesitate to call. We're at 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul along Grand Avenue or on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, we're at 982 Grand. And I'd really appreciate if you checked out our website at Lloyd's, automotive.net.
And I would appreciate it, Nick, if you come back next week.
I would love to, Denny. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Nick Stoffel, a busy dad there at the hockey rink. He'll be back next week. We'll talk more car care, as we always do every Saturday here. Stay tuned next for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat, and then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney in the 8 o'clock hour. All ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Yes, indeed. Thanks to the help we get from ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel. We'll get those questions answered for you. Any kind of a car care question, now is your chance for the next 30-some minutes or so. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things? Merry Christmas, by the way.
We're getting there, you know, and maybe even a little white up out of the sky today, but it looks like it's going to warm up again, so it might not hang on very long.
Yeah, that's what it looks like according to that forecast. But in the meantime, if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us, checking us out. If you have any kind of a car care question, you got to bring it in your vehicle, your car, your truck, your van for service at your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, and you want to know ahead of the game what could be ailing. Nick will try to analyze that over the air and give you at least some idea of what could be happening, what you can expect. So, again, don't wait. Our time always goes by so quickly. So you can call us now, and we urge you to do that, or text us, whichever is easier. One number will get you either 651-461-9226. Nick, I saved some questions when our pal Dan was with us last week, among some other things. So we've got questions already. But again, if you have a car care question, don't wait. Send us a text or give us a call. Interesting one we never got to, Nick. How long, especially this time of year, I guess, listener wants to know, how long, generally speaking, does it take the car need to run to charge the battery?
Well, that's a fair question. So the way the car's electrical system works is that the alternator charges the battery and operates all of the electronics in the vehicle while it's running. So if we had a low battery or trying to recharge or, you know, get it back up to where it should be, we're going to want to, a couple of things, have all the other accessories off. Anything that's running, or you, other than WCCO, of course, anything else electrically that's running will pull from that alternator so it can't charge the battery. The other piece of this is it could be idling, because at idle, the engine's going very slowly, and the alternator is not able to reach its capacity, its peak performance. So you need to be actually driving it around. It doesn't have to be on the highway or anything, but you need to have those RPMs up over 1,500, 1,800, 2,000 RPMs, which is normal driving. So in those conditions, the alternator has the capability to produce the power to fill the battery. If we're not using all of the other electronics in the vehicle, it leaves more of the alternator to refill the battery. So long story short, if you have to jumpstart your vehicle, you go drive around for 45 minutes, I think that's going to give you enough of a charge on a decent battery. If the battery obviously has failed, you can drive it all day long, and when you go to restart, it's not going to start. So keep that in mind.
Very good. Good question. Again, here's our phone number and text number, 651-461-9226. And again, I urge you to call or text now, because, our time goes by so quickly. Here's another one, Nick, that we didn't get to. Texter says, I have a 1998 Cadillac Seville with a possible Northstar engine in it that is blown up. It only has 100,000 miles on it. Do you think it's worth getting a rebuilt engine in it and installing it?
You know, when people always ask, you know, is this car worth fixing? And it really depends on your situation, your means, your needs, your desire for that particular vehicle. You know, my opinion personally, I don't think that'd be worth the investment. But if it's been a family-owned vehicle for a long period of time, you have the means to replace the engine, by all means, it's your money and your desire. But on practicality, I don't think that's the right fit for a vehicle to do that with.
All right. Here's another one that we didn't get to, and I'm not sure what this texter means, but I'll just read it. It says, my daughter's Hyundai needs rear brakes, and evidently the slides are frozen. How do I unfreeze the slides when I put new brakes on? What are they talking about, calipers? What do you think?
I suspect that is what they're talking about. And any brake job that you do, you should take apart the slide, the pins, the caliper to clean and lubricate. Oftentimes, our brakes will wear unevenly and prematurely if those slides and pins will start to get stiff or stuck. So any brake job that you do, you should remove the caliper, clean all the contact points, take apart those slides and those pins, clean them, lubricate them, and then reassemble the caliper. Clean all the contact points, take apart those slides and those pins, clean them, lubricate them, and then reassemble them. So it's a process. Now, sometimes you'll find that those items won't come apart because they're diseased. Those situations, you're better off buying yourself a new caliper. But it's going to take inspection and disassembly before we get to that point.
All right. Interesting. Never heard that term before. Let's grab a phone call, Nick. Mark is calling in from Maple Grove this morning. Thanks, Mark. What's your question for Nick?
Hi, Nick. I have a 2015 Dodge Journey. It has looks like a radiator, a reserve tank, but I think there's antifreeze and, you know, the mix, the 50-50 mix in there. And anyway, my question is, how full should that tank mix with antifreeze have? If the thermostat is functioning properly and the gauge is saying, you know, that it's somewhere in the normal range, not showing hot, I had the thermostat work and that last year. Do you think there's any concern about this year, you know, through the winter?
You know, the first thing with those reservoirs, a couple of things. When you check the coolant or the antifreeze, you're going to make sure that the vehicle's cold. So the time in the morning, you're going to go out to that reservoir, and they're all differently. Some of them actually are kind of transparent where you can kind of see through them slightly, and there'll be like a min-max line there. You want to have it above the minimum for sure on a cold engine. I mean, just above the minimum, because as it heats up, that coolant's going to expand. It's going to fill that reservoir some. So you don't want to fill it all the way to the top. It might overflow at that point. The other style, sometimes you might not be able to see the side of it, but you take the cap off and look down in there, and you'll see there'll be like a step or something. It'll say min and then max as you fill it. So same thing on the cold engine. You're going to fill it so you're above that minimum level, but leave some space for expansion. So as when you close it up and you drive the vehicle gets up to run temp as you drive, that coolant will expand and fill that reservoir even further. Keep in mind, though, once the engine is warmed up, you do not want to remove that cap. The system's under pressure. You run the risk of having a boiling over and burning yourself. So remember that. Hot engine, don't open the cooling system. As far as I think you'll be fine, if the thermostat was replaced, the procedures were done properly, which it sounds like they were, but it's been a year, I think you're just fine.
All right. Very good. We need to take a break. And just a reminder, our listeners, Nick will take his leave close to 7:45, so don't wait. 651 to call or text, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we've got callers, we have texters, but I want to ask, as I always like to do, for those that maybe need help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question or need some advice, feel free to give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you're on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're right on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And I'd really appreciate it if you checked out our website at LloydsAutomotive.net.
We will get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. And again, we do have callers. We have texters. So let's put you back to work. Let's see who's in line here. David's calling in from Fridley, I believe, this morning. Thanks for waiting, David. What is your question?
My question is also battery related. I've been able to store my Mustang in my dad's garage for quite a few years, and it's unheated, so I would hook up a trickler, I believe is what they call it. to keep the battery charged. But next year, I might have to put it into a heated rented garage. And my question is, if the car is stored in a heated garage, is it critical I still hook up a trickler to keep the battery charged?
I wouldn't say it's critical. I think if a car's sitting with a battery, it's sitting for 6 months, to have a tender on it, which is one of those floating devices that just puts maybe a half an amp or a very small amount back into the battery to kind of keep it charged. It's like, because if it sits, it's going to sulfate and slowly discharge. So if you don't have access to a power outlet and it's in a heated garage, you're probably going to be fine. But if you can plug it in, I think my advice would be I'd continue with that plan. That should help the battery get another year or two out of it in the long run.
All right. Very good, David. Thank you for the call. Let's grab another call while we're at it. Pat, checking in from Coon Rapids this morning. Thank you, Pat. What's your question for Nick?
So my question is, when not every station has it, but the stations that have E88 gas, is that okay to use in your car? It's usually less expensive.
So you have to be careful. Some stations might have four or five different fuel options. It can be a little confusing. I've experienced myself. So look at your owner's manual. See what your vehicle's capable of using. Like an E85 vehicle, it'll tell you what mixture or what ethanol content. Even in a standard vehicle, it'll tell you do not exceed a certain amount of ethanol or alcohol. So when you're looking at the pump, it might say E87, 88, 89, 91, whatever it might be, but it'll also tell you kind of an alcohol content or ethanol content, which is alcohol. Make sure you follow that. And if you don't know, you're not sure, using the good old regular fuel that you've used your whole life will be just fine. What can happen, though, vehicles are not designed to run higher alcohol content, so if you put too strong of a mix in there, the cars run poorly. They're going to have to try to find a way to get that out of the tank. So read the owner's manual, look online. When you're at the pump, do a little research, take some notes so you make sure you're using what fuel your car vehicle accepts.
Yeah, for sure. That manual, it's great to read. I'm guilty of that, of not doing that as often as I should. It's amazing what you can learn from that manual. Texter says this, Nick. They have a 2023 Traverse. It has auto stop. Will this decrease the life of the starter, do you think?
Good question, and we kind of talk about that from time to time. I don't know. I mean, yes, it's been used more, obviously, so is that better or worse? You know, between used more and staying lubricated and functioning, obviously use our starter every time we start our vehicle. But you might only start your vehicle two or three times a day, where with the auto stop, which for those that don't know, what it is, you pull to a stop sign once the vehicle's fully warmed up, the car kind of shuts itself off. Once you take your foot off the brake to go to get moving again, that restarts kind of like a golf cart does. The reason they do that is that the emissions emitted in the atmosphere are the highest at an idle. So having all these vehicles sitting in the stoplight, there's a tremendous amount of emissions being sent in the air. We're learning that if we want to cut back on the emissions, one really simple thing to do is shut the vehicle off. So we're all at the stoplight, the vehicle shut off, the light turns green, we go forward again, and the vehicle restart. It really does a really good job for the environment. So the technology, my guess would be in the long run, it will be harder on the starter because they have only so many starts. But will we notice a difference? I doubt it. I don't think it's going to be something where you're replacing a starter every year, every other year. But it won't be that noticeable.
Any kind of a car care question? We still have time for yours. It's 651-461-9226. Texter says this, good morning. I heard that if one tire goes bad on an all-wheel drive vehicle, all of the tires need to be replaced. Is that true or a myth? Tires are pretty expensive these days.
Well, first off, tires are very expensive. The prices seem to keep going up with no relief anytime soon. So make sure your tire pressures are full. Make sure you rotate your tires to prolong the life. And to answer their question, if you have a tire that is damaged or whatever condition, and the other three tires are getting quite worn, I would agree. It's really going to depend on the make, the setup, the depth of the tire. So if the tire is fairly new and the tires are new and one is bent, yes, I think we can put one on and be okay, sometimes two. But if they are getting quite worn, you don't want to put the undue stress on the elbow drive mechanics, because that's even more expensive than tires. So you have to get some advice, make sure who you're working with is a good relationship, a trusting relationship, and they can explain and advise you accordingly.
Very good. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break for that forecast. And when we come back, we'll pick up on more car care questions. Next offer from Lloyd's Automotive, answering those car care questions this morning at 651-461-9226. The weather straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. I'm reading a text. Somebody said, is Nick calling in from a submarine? It sounds like there's some sounds of a submarine in the back. You got to tell me where you are. Oh, you're breaking up. Guess what? You are breaking up. I think you're going to need to find another location, maybe briefly. But in the meantime, I know you're still listening to me. I want to read another text, and we still have time for phone calls as well. Here's the text anyway. My 1966 Chevy Impala, yesterday I noticed that the fan belts were squeaking and smelled like rubber, and was wondering if you could tell me what I should look for with that.
Sitting.
No, you're still breaking up. Doggone it. Too bad. Still breaking up.
What's going on here?
He's going to check something. We still have some text messages to it. Well, you're there. Let's see if we can't handle it. What do you think about that squeaking and smelling like rubber question?
I would just barely.
No, I tell you what, Nick, it's breaking up. It's not. All right. Tell you what, do this. Call us back from another location, and we can see if he can't move around in that building a little bit. I think he's with his kids at a hockey rink, as a matter of fact. Dads always have these things to do, you know, especially in the weekends. If you're checking in with us, Nick Stoffel is with us from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick and his friend Dan Burns from Lloyd's have been helping us out here on CCO for, as I mentioned, it's got to be close to 30 years. And if we don't get all the questions answered today, it's like I like to do from week to week, if we, because people are kind enough to call or text us. We will save those questions until the next week's show. So that's what we'll do again today if we can't put it together. But here again is, keep in mind that we're around every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. You can either call in your car care question or send a text. A lot of folks like the text because it's easier. You don't have to wait on the phone. 651-461-9226 for either your call or your text question. Has Nick rejoined us, Dennis? I guess maybe he hasn't. Is he back?
How about that, Denny?
There.
Can you hear me good now?
Now you're perfect. It's perfect.
All right, so
okay.
What happened is, as you know, I take my daughter to hockey all different places, and we're at Woog Arena in South St. Paul, and I was sitting in my normal spot, and I got up to move, and then I lost my good signal, so back to my spot. So I'm always someplace, somewhere. You get early Saturday morning. So
you're a busy. You're a busy dad. What about that squeaky and smelling like rubber question?
So if we're having a smell, it means that something's slipping. Like the belt is not fully tight. Number one, or it's wet. So I would tell the texter to open the hood, look for anything that might be wet. You know, don't stick your hand in where it shouldn't be. But if you see the belt, look around the belt. If it's shiny, it looks wet, we might have a leak that needs to be fixed. The other thing you can do is you can start the vehicle. Once again, don't stick your fingers where they don't belong. Watch the belt. If it seems to be wobbly, make a note of what looks like it's wobbly. Maybe take a photo even. And then when you get a hold of your mechanic or your shop, you can share that information. I heard this noise. I smelt this. See that it looks wet and glazed, like it's been leaking. door or something looks like it's loose and wobbling. This probably isn't something you want to ignore too long, because that's kind of your warning. The car is talking to you, making a noise that you haven't heard. Something's wrong. So I would probably advise the texter to get an appointment, get it looked at, especially before we hit any kind of real cold weather, so you're not stuck out in the cold.
Well, that's good advice for sure. We always, as you know, Nick, have the smartest listeners, and we had an earlier call about E85, and I think the caller was talking about E88 or something like that. But anyway, a texter said you should have a yellow cap on your gas tank if you can use E85. Does that ring a bell truth?
That is correct. You know, if it is an E85 vehicle, which my truck is, you have a yellow fuel cap. The E88 is where they're trying to bridge the gap of how much ethanol you can run in certain vehicles. So I advise you be very careful playing that game. Make sure you read the manual, read online, do some research. Just don't, you know, I can save myself 50 cents or 30 cents a gallon, which is real money. If you create a problem that costs hundreds to fix, it might not be worth it. So I advise people be very careful. Very careful before you start just running anything through your vehicle.
All right, here's another one for you, Nick. 2020 GMC Sierra 1500 SLT four-wheel drive. The owner's manual states, quote, do not directly power wash the transfer case and or front slash rear axle output seals. And the question is from the listener, is a car wash with undercarriage spray safe to use?
Yes. They're spraying water directly up. It's not a finite, like a pressure washer. And the reason is there's venting systems built into a lot of these items, and they don't want you introducing too much water into them. No different than going down a wet road. You know, those tires kick up plenty of water, moisture, and mist. That's getting everywhere underneath also. So your drive-through car wash will be just fine. If you're keeping your vehicle spotless, I want you to be careful with the pressure washer that you're not going to force water through one of those vents.
Yeah, that makes sense. So an undercarriage wash for the car wash is fine. Texter says this, Nick. I know we have a couple minutes to go. Does occasionally switching to manual drive to aid in braking wear the transmission faster?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of thoughts and opinions. And, if something were to go the life of a vehicle and track it, maybe you can see a slight difference. I think we're better to stay focused on the road and those around us than trying to downshift our vehicle. You know, it doesn't damage the transmission. Maybe it's a little bit easier on the brakes, but at what cost? I'm probably not worth it, quite honestly.
When I used to drive all those manual transmission cars I drove, which is most of the cars I've had, I would always downshift. And occasionally with these paddle shifters I have now, once in a while, you know, to make sure I'm at the speed limit, I'll downshift a little bit, but very rarely. And I, like you said, maybe over the long haul it would, but I don't think in the short term, in my opinion.
Not measurable. No, not measurable.
One last question. I think we got to let you go. 2009 Dodge Challenger has a slow tire pressure leak. The tire shop found the tire rim has a slight bend. Can the rim be straightened or should I buy a new wheel?
Yes, a wheel can be repaired and straightened within reason. When they manufacture the wheel, the rim, there's like a bead that's kind of like the safety zone or the limit of repair that's kind of part of the design of a wheel. So if it's been damaged to some capacity, it's hard to tell you over the over the radio what's good, what's bad. Like you talk to those folks, there are outfits that come out, straighten that wheel or repair even a crack, and it's usually more economical than replacing the wheel. So I would advise you to do a little more research, inquire a little bit more. If the folks that you're using doesn't offer that, you know, there's another shop across the street, across town that will. So just do a little more legwork there, and I think you'll find that if it is repairable, you'll save yourself some good money, and it's a good fix. We haven't done quite often, and it does work. So it is a good option.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to hockey practice there, Nick. And in the meantime, for those folks that – and we'll have more show next week, of course. But, Nick, in the meantime, for those folks that want to get in touch with Lloyd's Automotive, how is that done?
Yeah, so if you ever have a question or need some advice, never hesitate to call. We're at 228-1316. If you're in St. Paul along Grand Avenue or on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, we're at 982 Grand. And I'd really appreciate if you check out our website at LloydsAutomotive.net.
And I would appreciate it, Nick, if you come back next week.
I would love to, Denny. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Nick Stoffel, a busy dad there at the hockey rink. He'll be back next week. We'll talk more car care, as we always do every Saturday here. Stay tuned next for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat, and then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney in the 8 o'clock hour. All ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.